Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. This is arguably the most powerful greeting in the entire New Testament. But we're going to see that in this greeting is a revelation of truth about the one to whom this greeting is sent. Our Lady, in her purity, in her fullness of grace, in her perfection of grace. Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. We're talking about the powerful dogma of the Immaculate Conception, and we're talking about its scriptural foundations. Now, in the last segment, we talked about the first pregnant passage regarding the Immaculate Conception in Genesis 3:15, and the fact that the complete enmity, the opposition between the woman and the serpent, bespeaks the fact that she can't be with sin. Otherwise, they don't have complete opposition. Otherwise, they have a union. Now, in the New Testament, and in the second biblical passage that Blessed Pius IX highlights in his dogma of the Immaculate Conception statement, Ineffabilis Deus, given to us December 8th in 1854, we see, again, this passage of Luke 1:28, the greeting of the angel Gabriel. Now, let's keep in mind the context. The people are waiting for the Messiah. This virgin has been educated in the temple. Her holiness has been acknowledged by many. But now she's in her humble home in Nazareth, and she is greeted by the archangel Gabriel. And the greeting shows that Gabriel is making reference to the awesome dignity of this 15-year-old virgin. And he says, in the best English translation we have, "Hail, full of grace." Now, to get the deeper meaning of that, we have to go to the Latin and ultimately to the Greek. In the Latin, it is Ave gratia plena, hail, which makes reference to the nobility of the person you're addressing, and then gratia plena, full of grace. John Paul II will say that in this greeting, the angel gives Mary a new name. He doesn't say, "Hail Mary, full of grace," but "Hail you who are full of grace." But my friends, the depth of this really comes forward when we get to the Greek. And in the Greek, the verb that is used here, the hail and then the full of grace, or rejoice would be a fair translation in the Greek. The verb is kekeratomene, and that means you who have been perfected in grace, or you who have been entirely transformed in grace. What's really important about this verb is that it is a perfect passive participle. Now, bear with me with this grammar stuff, because this is of huge importance to the text. When we're talking about a perfect passive participle, what we're saying is, and what this Greek tense is saying is, this has to refer to an action that's not present, but that's referring to an action in the past that is entirely completed. And this past action, entirely completed, has a relevance, an ongoing relevance to the present. Now, let me say that again. Kekeratomene means an action, referring to an action completed in the past, entirely completed, but with an ongoing relevance. So, that's why it can't be translated just, "You are full of grace now because I'm coming to you." It has to be translated, "Hail you, Mary, who in an action completed in the past is transformed in grace, is perfected in grace." And that's still relevant to now, but it took place perfectly in the past. We know that from our own perfect tense of an action completed in the past. So the angel is making reference to something about the person of Mary perfected in grace in the past. What can it be but the Immaculate Conception? And so this is a profound understanding that the angel is not saying, "You're being graced because I'm showing up and giving you this invitation." You already have been graced. And you know what? You've already been graced perfectly. Now, some objectors would say, well, you know, this reference of full of grace is also made reference to Stephen in Acts 6:8. And in fact, in English translations, it's possible that that's also translated full of grace. But if you go to the Greek, it's clearly a different meaning. In the Greek, it's pleris keratos, and that means literally full of grace right now. It's a statement about, okay, now Stephen, full of grace, you know, strengthened in grace, given grace because he's about to be martyred, that's all fair. But it does not mean Stephen, you who have been perfected in grace as an action completed in the past, which has a relevance to today. Absolutely not. And this Greek verb is only used twice. And that's with Our Lady, and that's with Stephen, but only with Our Lady in terms of a perfecting, sanctifying action already completed. It's a powerful, and I really invite our Protestant brothers and sisters, many of whom are real scholars in Greek, to investigate this. Look at this. Look at the Greek. Look at the difference of the meanings here. Because it's very clear that only one person in the New Testament is made reference to this action completed in the past. Only one creature. And that is Our Lady. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary in this Luke 1:28 passage. Now, it's also telling that, and we of course know that Jesus is full of grace as an action completed in the past, but let's go to Luke 1:42. Let's go to the visitation where Mary visits Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as soon as Mary enters her presence, really as soon as Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary, Scripture says, Elizabeth said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now, even in a general sense, this could be seen as an implicit reference of Mary being graced beyond all other women. I mean, blessed are you among all women. But again, if we go to the Greek, we see a powerful truth, and that is in the term, in the phrase, in the verb, blessed, we have exactly the same form. It's a perfect passive participle. Now remember, Elizabeth's acting under the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, she knows that Mary is with child. But what does the Spirit have her say? The Spirit has her say, blessed are you among women as an action completed in the past. And then Elizabeth uses the same form in the Greek, a perfect passive participle, in reference to the fruit of her womb. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The Greek is eulogemene, and for the feminine. And again, it's saying, this isn't happening now. This is a grace, a sanctifying action that happened before. So who are the two pre-sanctified perfectly? Well, Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. It's a beautiful unraveling of the truth that the Spirit makes clear through the Archangel Gabriel and through Elizabeth that there's something special about these two. Now, we know the specialness about Jesus, but Scripture reveals the specialness about Our Lady. Perfecting actions completed in the past, which has everything to do with the present. That's who Our Lady is. That's who she is in her Immaculate Conception, and that's who Scripture reveals her as well. She's the fullness of grace. She has no sin. She is a new creation. And as St. Bonaventure says, we should have a proper awe. Anything we say about Our Lady, we say defectively, not in a hyperbolic type of way. She's awesome as God's masterpiece. She is the Immaculate Conception. Thanks for being with us at MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli saying, God bless.